Evan Roberts.
Hi.
Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let me start by saying I'm proud of Tiki Barber because today, much like yesterday, Tiki has a vacation day. And yesterday he's like, yeah, screw vacation day. I got nothing to do. I'm going to come in and do a show, which defeats the whole purpose of a vacation day. Today, Tiki Barber is wisely saying, you know what, screw it. I don't need to sit next to Evan for 4.5 hours hearing him say absurd things. I'm going to take a vacation day. So Tiki's out. He'll be back next week. Sean Morash in the big chair. And Sean's fascinating to me. He's actually a really interesting science experiment. I want you to hear me out on this, Sean.
Wonderful.
So tomorrow, the Giants and the Jets are playing preseason games. And don't worry, Yankee fans, we'll get to you coming up. Met fans, we'll get to you coming up. Yes, I think the Mets are mediocre, but we'll more on that later. The Giant fan in January wanted the head coach fired. The Giant fan in January wanted the general manager fired. The Giant fan in January and December, not you particularly, were flying airplanes above the stadium, begging the owner to make changes. I would argue that in December of 2024, there was no more toxic time to be around the New York Football Giants based on the consistency of losing, based on the fan reaction, based on the no hope that the Giant fan had. So far, have I said anything untrue?
Sort of. I think. No. Hear me out. For the most part, you're right. The only thing I would say is,
yes,
about half the Giants fans wanted the general manager and coach fired. Remember, there was a big fracture in the Giants.
There was a fracture. I'd argue it wasn't half. It was probably majority wanted these guys fired. I'd say 60 to 70%, but whatever. Let's quibble over it.
But the point is, yeah.
It was toxic, right?
It was at least that Giant fans were fighting with each other, and whatever the problems were, whether you wanted the coach or GM fired, then they were arguing other problems.
So sure.
No matter what, everybody was unhappy to a degree.
No doubt. And after John Mara announced that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane were coming back, there was a very much mixed review on it. A lot of people were upset. And it felt like, we're just wasting our time. Next year, they're gone anyway. So I now fast forward to today, August 8th, the day before the Giants play their first preseason game. And I'm not putting you guys down for this at all. Like, I admire this. I wish I could be more optimistic. Like, I just had a conversation with Sal, spoke to a few of my friends. They're not happy with my pessimism around the Mets. I wish I could be a more optimistic guy in general. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. I'm enamored. And maybe it's just you, and maybe it's just Tiki. Maybe it's not the majority of Giant fans listening to our voice right now. But I'm enamored by how confident the Giant fan is, considering how ugly things were 8 months ago. So, first of all, before your retort,
yeah.
Giant fans, does Sean represent you? Are you positive going into tomorrow and the start of the season? Or are you like, no, Evan, it's still toxic. It still sucks. I still want the coach fired. The world is burning. 888-808-1019. With that said,
okay,
tell me how that's changed for you.
All right. So I think there's a couple different envelopes we have to open up here to tell you why this has changed. First and foremost, I think you need to define optimism and positivity. Because for, I think, the majority of Giant fans that are optimistic, like myself, nobody is screaming from the mountaintops that they're going from 3 wins to 10 wins. I think the bar of optimism has been lowered, and maybe that's partially because of the brutal schedule they have. I think you're seeing a ceiling of optimism around, hey, I think this team's going to be a 7-win team building towards hopefully a big 2026 with Jackson Dart. Is that fair to say? So is that really...
Is which part fair to say?
Well,
the 6 wins or which part?
The fact that you're saying everybody like me is optimistic, but optimism, I think, to a lot of people would be, wow, people think the Giants are going to win 10 games, go make the playoffs. I don't think you're getting that from
Giants.
No,
okay, so here's where the optimism lies. A year ago, maybe not a year ago, but 6 months ago, there was a no-confidence vote from Giant fans about this administration.
Sure.
There was I don't believe in this head coach, he should be fired. I don't believe in this GM, he should be fired. And now, 6 months later, without a game being played, we've got, I like where we're headed.
Yeah,
I mean, 6 months ago, you wanted everybody fired.
Now, let me take you through the offseason here, because this is important to note. We are used to, especially in the Dave Gettleman era and the early returns in those first two drafts of the Joe Shane era, bottoming out ineptitude of the umpteenth degree, which has led this roster down here. I don't think anybody in their wildest imaginations, maybe outside of Tiki Barber, and that's why he's smarter than the rest of us, thought the moment that season ended when Shane and Dable were keeping their job, that the Giants with the number three overall pick in the draft were going to select Abdul Carter, arguably the best player in the draft, depending on how you felt with Travis Hunter. Many of us thought, well, now they're in scramble mode. They're going to have to protect themselves by taking a quarterback third overall. Maybe it's Shedeur Sanders. I think the idea that Giants fans didn't have what happened with Daniel Jones all over again, where you felt like you could get a quarterback later and was taken that high, has helped the team feel like, well, okay, that was a pretty competent way to approach the draft. And you end up thus walking out with this optimism with the draft, the positive reviews on Dart. I think also, while we were caught up in that, a funny thing happened. We were able to breathe. March happened and April happened. And we realized, oh yeah, Daniel Jones is not the quarterback of this team. Tommy DeVito is not the starting quarterback of this team. They have a new quarterback room that is full of personalities and full of a guy right now who did win a Super Bowl in his career that could bridge the gap to the rookie you selected, not with your first pick, but a later first-round pick. I think there was a part of this offseason where we almost unexpectedly didn't think so. And even with the cap space, people screamed and yelled about cap space, and Tiki told us it was fungible. They end up getting one of the best corners on the market, maybe the best safety on the market, and suddenly that added to Abdul Carter. You look around, and it's impossible, even for the biggest Giant hater, to look at the Giants' defense on paper and go, boy, that could be a top 10 unit. I think that's just being objective about
it. Well, a couple of things. You mixed in the let's kill Daniel Jones aspect of it, like let's kill the dead guy.
Yeah.
I mean, for years, and you were certainly one of them, it was the offensive line's fault that Daniel Jones was inadequate.
Yep.
Now, blame Daniel Jones. Blame the dead guy. He's not here. It was all his fault. Now we've got the washed Russell Wilson as quarterback, so don't you worry. We'll all be fine. No.
Well, first of all, washed Russell Wilson made a playoffs last year with less of a wide receiver than Malik Nabers did and a top 10 defense, which the Giants could have. That happened.
Hold on 1 second. I know Tiki is on vacation, but every once in a while I like to check in with Tiki, bad Tiki, good Tiki, to ask him his opinion about Russell Wilson. I'm just curious. What is random? If you're not ready, Connor, just give me a signal.
Wow, this would be bad.
I think Russell Wilson's washed.
What were you saying now about Russ? Go ahead.
Okay. He still made the playoffs last year, did he not? With a team in the Steelers.
I mean, the Steelers have proven over the years that I could be the quarterback and make the playoffs.
All right, fine. Neither here nor there. What he did with Pittsburgh, I think, is all the Giants are looking for. Nobody's thinking he's going to turn around and turn the Giants into a Super Bowl contender. But for 1 year, as you try to figure out what Jackson Dart is, I think it ends up being the smartest fit. Boy, imagine they had traded for Matthew Stafford. What would we be
saying
right
now? That's
what
you wanted.
I know. But guess what? That's why I'm not the general manager.
I mean, I'm fighting with everybody that it was a stupid idea.
And now he's hurt. I think the Giants, whether it's luck or whatever, ended up having an enormous offseason. And despite their bad record, last year's offseason and last year's draft class, who you expect all those guys to take another step, that's a foundational draft. The Giants now have put back-to-back drafts and a good offseason of free agency together. And this roster looks nothing like it did 2 years ago.
Here's the kind of the issue I have as an IFO. Okay.
All right.
As an IFO, I look at the New York Giants after last season ended, and I thought, they got to blow it up. It didn't work. I mean, Dable gave you that quick start, which we've seen from coaches in this town before, and it just failed. It was so bad the last 2 years that what I would have done, and we talked about this back in January, is I would have blown the whole thing up and started over. Once they brought both guys back, and yes, on paper, the draft looks good. I'm not going to sit here and crap on the draft. I'm not even going to crap on the roster that's been put together. But I still don't have that full faith in this general manager and in this head coach. And so as I go into this season, trying to be as independent-minded as I can, yes, I think you're better than last year. I do. I think the schedule is so brutal that even being better, you may only win 4 or 5 games. I think that's on the table. And I wonder, since in this case I'm not being emotional, and you are, and Giant fans are, if you're going to reverse course very quickly on what you're saying now in August, which is sort of sensible. Hey, I like the roster. Hey, I like the draft. I'm open-minded. Well, are you going to be as open-minded if they finish 4-13? I have a tough time believing that.
Not all 4-13s look alike. I don't think I'll be happy with 4-13.
So I agree that not all 4-13s look alike, but we've seen a lot of losing football.
Yeah.
And I can tell, just you and a lot of others, that we are so sick of losing that I'm not sure with another year from the same head coach, this would be year 4, that in the 4th year of a head coach, you're going to be able to look at a 4 or 5 win season and say, but I like the direction. Like, maybe I can do it with a brand new head coach and GM, and I'm not even saying I can. Like, more on the Jets later. I don't know if I could sit here in 4-13 and say, boy, I feel good about the new head coach. And you're telling me you and others are going to be able to do that with the fourth year of a head coach?
You have to realize something.
Color me skeptical.
It's still a coach that we want to forget that first year he did win Coach of the Year, which probably set the organization back, which is why I think some of the fan base was faithful in wanting to bring him back. Giants fans, and maybe a whole generation has passed, but at least people in my demographic, right, late 30s and older, lived a season where the Giants only won six games, five of which were with a former Super Bowl champion quarterback, handing over to a rookie first rounder who didn't win a game until the last week of the season. But even in those losses, you saw the building blocks. If you're telling me the Giants go win four or five games, and it's because it's a hard schedule where they lost a lot of close games early, Russell Wilson was hanging in, defense showed faith, but they're losing close games to good teams, and then you hand it over to Jackson Dart maybe earlier than we think, and he loses basically every game until, let's say, the second or last week of the year when they play the Raiders.
There's a big difference. There's a big problem with your analogy.
Okay.
Can I poke a hole in it?
Sure, go ahead.
So, 2004, and that's a season we're going to hear a lot about, and certainly with Tiki because he experienced it. Here the Giants were. They were sort of in it. They had this veteran, former Super Bowl winning quarterback, and then they made the change middle of the season to Eli, and even though they didn't win games, you felt good about the future. And you're going to hear that a lot, and I understand why that comp is brought up. There is one huge difference that you didn't mention that's very different between that circumstance and this circumstance. Do you want to guess before I tell you?
Because I know, because I already have my
go ahead.
It was Tom Coughlin's first year.
Yes, okay. And not only Tom Coughlin's first year, Tom Coughlin was a winner in this league. So you are at least doing this with a head coach that you could point towards and say, he's got a resume. Brian Daboll, and I don't forget the phone calls we took in November and December and even January. The jury is out on this head coach. And you could tell me all day he won Coach of the Year. That's great. Eric Mangini made the playoffs in his first year. I'm an expert on coaches winning early and then stinking the rest. I didn't want to say suck, because I think that's so immature, so I'm trying to change that to stinking. And so what happened right there is I tried to alter the words at the same time. My apologies.
I disagree,
Rookie suck.
Stinking.
That's your tiki.
Stinking sounds more immature.
You think so?
It sounds more childish.
So what would you say instead?
Sucking. I think sucking's emphatic.
I can't do that.
I think you're thinking of it the wrong way.
Stinking
sounds cheesy.
I had a parent come up to me at Citi Field the other day and said, listen, my 10-year-old loves the Rico. I said, thank you. That means a lot to me. He says, you're such a level-headed Met fan. You know, you give things time. You don't jump to conclusions after small sample sizes. You know, you're really a balanced Met fan. I said, thank you. Some people don't agree with that, but thank you. He says, but my one problem with you is why you got to say suck all the time? And I said, well, tell them not to suck with runners in scoring position. I won't say it. But I was having a thought, like, I shouldn't say suck. So I want that out of my vocabulary.
Is suck a bad word?
It's not that it's just, you know what? Let's just go with something else. So is stink a good word, Connor, or is there another word you would use?
But I think stink's a fine word.
Thanks, bro.
It's a little more delicate than suck,
okay.
I would say.
When we were kids, I think we used to use the word, they bite.
Oh, you want to go with bite?
Yeah.
They stink. Yeah. See? He knew how to do it.
Yeah.
They stink. So let me get back to this.
Okay.
Brian Daboll in the fourth year of coaching is not Tom Coughlin in year one. And so every time you or anyone else brings up the 04 analogy, you do have to keep that in mind.
Tom Coughlin, in his first year as a head coach, got to have a rookie first-round quarterback. This is Brian Daboll's first year with a rookie first-round quarterback.
So you're exonerating the first 3 years?
I'm exonerating the last two. The first year was a good one. The
no,
first
I get
year
you.
Set them
well,
back.
I'm looking at his entire sample size. You are exonerating first 3 years of his tenure here.
Exonerate's the wrong word. Like, it still lives, but I think it lives beyond this year. I really think, now look, they could be incompetent if a lot of the guys we've talked about as foundational pieces of the roster besides Jackson Dart, like, I don't know, if all of these offensive linemen, more on them in a little bit, stink. If Brian Burns, who they invested heavily in, really just isn't that good. You know, go on and on. Newbin and Phillips. Like, all these guys who we think are going to be foundational core pieces all step back and they look atrocious. Okay, then maybe we could have the conversation. But I don't think at the end of this year, even with four or five wins, that ownership is going to hold a full four-year sample size against Brian Daboll and want to get rid of him. I think he's going to look the other way and go, we screwed Daniel Jones up over three head coaches and all that time. We got to see this thing out for at least next year where it's an all-in year with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I have a tough time believing, and I don't want to be negative as the Giants are getting set to play their first preseason game, and the Jets, too, on Saturday night. I don't think the Giants are going to be good. And I think I've been here long enough, and I've had differing opinions every year, for you to know and look into my eyes to know I am not saying that to be a jerk.
I know
I'm not saying that to be negative or be a troll. I give you my honest opinion. You may not like it, but there's no ulterior motive. And I will tell you why I don't think the Giants are going to be good, besides the schedule, which is obvious, and I throw it out there. We all know that.
Yeah.
I don't trust the offensive line. I don't trust Andrew Thomas to stay healthy. And I've said this to you before. I think Andrew Thomas is one of the most important players in New York sports. If he gets hurt, like we saw last year, like we saw the year before that, the offensive line gets completely derailed. I don't trust Evan Neal to be a starter in this league. I appreciate that they're moving him to guard. We saw it work with Mekhi Becton. We saw it work with Eric Flowers. I'm skeptical till I see it. So I don't trust your offensive line. Their pass rush could be special. Are you going to stop the run? Because you didn't do that last year.
That's a big question.
Like, those are... So far, I'm asking fair questions,
yeah.
Right?
No.
I don't know if the quarterback has much left. You heard what Tiki said. I think most of us kind of feel that way about Russell Wilson.
Did he make the playoffs?
I think Russell Wilson's washed.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers made the playoffs last year, bro. I wouldn't say Russell Wilson and a little bit of Justin Fields did. I'd say the Steelers made the playoffs.
Did Russell Wilson throw enough moon balls down the year? That is something the Giants have not had the last 2 years. Daniel Jones has been scared to release the ball down the field.
So what you're saying is Daniel Jones and everyone else, Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, was so bad that even a washed up Russell Wilson is such an upgrade.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's where you're talking.
I am. I think that, okay, context matters. Andrew Thomas' health is everything in terms of, like, the Giants can't afford to lose him. I can't argue that. And if we're having a conversation, what will the Giants be like if Andrew Thomas is not on the field? Very tough to argue that they're going to be super competitive. So I hear you, and I do have my questions
about
that.
And it's fair to worry about that.
Fair to worry.
The way I feel about Elijah Vera Tucker, like, it's until the guy stays healthy, and AVT did last year, and even still I'm skeptical.
Dude, it's totally fair to worry. I do think that the Giants approach this offseason without the nonsense they've done the last 2 years of taking a third-round guard, hoping he could play left tackle in Azudu, signing Hubbard off the Pittsburgh practice squad and throwing him right out there to start at left tackle. They signed a James Hudson. They drafted a fifth-round pick. Also last year, when they finally got the senses and moved Jermaine Illuminor to left tackle, they were able to function again. Those first 6 weeks with Andrew Thomas last year, we came on here after every single game going, how bad is Daniel Jones? He finally has time to throw a football. Those five offensive linemen, if Thomas are healthy, are out there. It doesn't mean they're the greatest offensive line in the world, but are they adequate enough for this team to move the ball? Yes. And last year, we hated at the bye week when Joe Shane brought up the close games the Giants played. Remember that?
Yeah.
The fact is, though, they did play a lot of close games until the wheels fell off later in the year. And what is oftentimes the difference in close games? Turnovers? They couldn't get any last year. They invested in Newbin. I mean, they invested in Holland. They invested in Adebo and a pass rush that should cause them. And big explosive plays down the field. They had a quarterback that was afraid to throw them. 2 years ago, when Taylor came out, he was at least attacking down the field. If Wilson's doing that and you get a couple more turnovers, dude, that's the difference in getting three more wins than you had last year.
So you just said... And I remember this when Joe Shane said, hey, look, we've lost a lot of close games. What did you think when he said that?
Did
that bother you?
I said, people are going to hate this, but he's right.
He's right that they could go either way. Now, you could make the same argument for the year they had success.
Absolutely.
They won a lot of close games. You also said at the beginning of this discussion, hey, not all 4-13s look the same.
Sure.
If the Giants end up going 4-13, which is on the table, and again, not being a bad guy, look at the schedule. I know things can change. The Chargers have already faced a brutal injury with Slater being out for the year. I get it. Things can change. They could also change the other way. Like, right now we may think, the Raiders will suck. And then the Raiders have a great year. So I know it goes both ways.
Not with Ashton Jeanty getting -1 yards in a preseason game.
If the New York Giants are 4-13, but they lose a lot of close games, and Joe Shane says the same thing he said a year ago, do you really think Giant fans are going to be like, well, we lost a lot of close games?
Yes, because now you have Jackson Dart.
Come on, but a year ago, we weren't thinking the same thing.
Because it felt hopeless. They were an abyss. You didn't know what the plan was at quarterback. That's the biggest question involving the Giants. Those questions are over. Now, Jackson Dart could be a bust, stink. We have to
worry about that.
We don't know. And we have to worry about that later. But there's optimism that no matter when the Giants fail this year, and when the Giants reach that point, you will hand it over to a first-round quarterback where, I hate to say it, I think most Giant fans with a brain in between their ears would say, the wins necessarily don't matter the rest of the year. I want to see the development of this quarterback, and then I will be excited for next year. And are you going to stunt the development of the quarterback with 4 wins and fire Brian Daboll, who handpicked him? Probably not.
We'll get to your calls next. I find this to be a fascinating situation. Rarely do you not have changes at GM, coach, or manager and have this optimism. Like, the Jet fan having optimism is because Robert Saleh was a disaster, and Aaron Glenn can't possibly be worse, and we feel like adults are running the show. Makes sense. Doesn't mean the Jets are going to be good, but you can understand the optimism. The Giant fan, are you optimistic, even though the GM and coach you wanted fired 7 months ago are still here? We'll hear from you to start, 888-808-1019. We'll get into the baseball. A huge weekend for both teams. The Mets are facing what has been, at least over the last few months, the best team in the National League. And overall, they're the best team in the National League. The Brewers will preview that series, as well as the Yankees renewing a rivalry with the Houston Astros.